Very, very busy day. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I read you the statement from Deshaun Watson. I read you the statement from the Haslams. Deshaun spoke with the media. It did not make it better. In fact, it made it a lot worse, which I will get to a little bit later on. My thanks to Bruce Feldman. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. More of that later on. But as promised, we start hour number two by having a conversation with a three-time Super Bowl champion. He holds the record for most receptions and most points scored in a Super Bowl. He was a two-time All-Big Ten selection. He was a Big Ten Freshman of the Year. He was the 130th pick overall in 2014 out of Wisconsin, and he did announce his retirement last week. Of course, I'm speaking of James White. James, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Really well. Really well. So you made the announcement last week, and then on Tuesday night, you and the team had a final presser. I'm curious, what kind of emotions were running through you on Tuesday night?
I have a lot of different emotions going on, but as great having my family there with me, my teammates, coaches, some of the, the other people that work in the facility that I've gotten a chance to get to know over the course of my career. But it's definitely a different feeling knowing that, I'm not going to be back on the football field, but it's just a pleasure having all those people there to support me that have been supporting me this whole entire time.
James White's joining us. You know, I would imagine as emotional as Tuesday night was, Bill Belichick was quick to remind everybody that when he saw you at the combine, quote, he wasn't big, wasn't fast, couldn't jump high, end of quote. I mean, knowing that, and you're kind of chuckling, but knowing that, how do you explain the career that you had and the impact that you had on this organization?
Well, for me, I've never been a big test guy. Like, my numbers never really jumped out at anybody. But for me, I've always been a consistent football player, and that's when I pride myself on being on. And as a guy who's going to show up each and every day with the right attitude, going to be smart, going to take coaching, and I'm going to do things right over and over and over and over again. And let's see if somebody can do that more times than me. That's kind of what I've been all about, and, helping my team win football games. So I know a lot of guys, have the measurables and all that. That wasn't, my necessarily cup of tea, but I just went out there and played football and tried to play at a high level.
James White joining us, to that very point that you just made. Like, if we were to go back to your first season, you didn't play very much. You appeared in three games. You had five receptions and nine carries. You said after that year, quote, I had to look myself in the mirror and find ways to get better, end of quote. So how were you able to take such a big step from year one to year two?
For me, it was trying to get nutrition right, talk to the coaches, figure out what they needed more from me, what they needed to see from me in order for me to get out there on the football field, whether it was running the ball better, running better routes, picking up the blitz. And they told me it was like a little bit of everything. So I worked on everything and went out there that, next OTA training camp. We had like eight running backs going into OTAs that year. So, I honestly was thinking I probably was going to get cut, after the year I had the previous year. But I just pushed myself and, just tried to make the decision on the coaches as hard as possible. I ended up making a team. I was still not playing for the first few weeks, until my friend Deion Lewis ended up unfortunately getting hurt, and then I finally got my opportunity. And I just, tried not to look back from there.
James White joining us, and you get the opportunity. I mean, dude, you go from looking in the mirror and trying to find ways to get better and hopefully not getting cut to one of the all-time great Super Bowl performances in that comeback win over Atlanta. I mean, there's so many moments from that game, including the winning TD. But when you think back on the Super Bowl, what do you remember most? What kind of emotions do you take away from that?
Man, I know I was extremely exhausted, first and foremost. But for me, like I said, my rookie year I didn't play. And seeing those guys, win a Super Bowl my rookie year and having to stand there and watch, that was hard for me as a competitor. Obviously, I was really excited to be there. And, I know those guys worked so hard to get to that point. But as a competitor, you just want to be out there. So I always said to myself, if I ever got the opportunity to play that game as a player, I was going to do, whatever I could, not try and do anything outside of myself, but do whatever I could to help my team win that football game. And, we were trailing by a lot of points. And, I'm in my role with the Patriots, I'm in the game a lot when we're throwing the ball a lot. So the ball kept coming my way, and I was just in one of those zones where everything just happened to be going right. And I said, it wasn't just myself that won that football game, but I was just happy I could just be a big part to help my team win.
And when you talk about being in the zone, I'm always fascinated by that, you know, whether you call it a flow process or being in the zone. Can you put yourself in that zone, or do you end up in that zone as a result of the way the game is going?
I think you end up in that zone as a result of the way the game's going. It's, you start getting in the flow of the game and you start getting a feel for things, and it's kind of like, it kind of ends up like practice. Like, you don't even realize the fans are there. You don't realize anybody's there, but you and you, your teammates and the opponents, and you're just out there playing football. And like I said, it just feels like whatever you do, it's almost working. It's kind of an indescribable feeling, but I think a lot of guys who've had the opportunity to play sports, they kind of know what I'm talking about.
James, that's incredible what you just said. Is that really how that was? I mean, you're on the biggest stage in the entire world. The biggest stage in the entire world. When you get in that zone, does it feel like there aren't fans, that that's not the stage, that it's just you playing ball?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when in the beginning of the game, when we were losing, I could hear everything. Like, I felt like I was at an Atlanta club that first half, the way, you know, they're beating up on us. But when we got locked in and I got dialed in, like, it almost seemed like it was silent, and I'm just literally just out there doing what I have to do. Even when I scored a touchdown, it was almost like I didn't really hear anything. It's just kind of like I blacked out and just in a zone. It was just a crazy feeling.
James White joining us. You know, every great athlete wants to be able to leave the game on their own terms, right? And so few get to, because the game is so unforgiving. I'm curious, last fall you suffered a season-ending hip injury and you were rehabbing that. My question is, could you have come back out and played this year? How did you approach that in terms of deciding, you know what, now is the time?
For me, when I first got injured, I've obviously never been through this series of injury, you know, throughout my entire career. I was blessed and fortunate to be healthy, you know, throughout, you know, high school, college, and into the pros until this past season. But when I first got hurt, you couldn't tell me I would have even tried to, you know, go back out there and play. But as the rehab process went on, I got more and more confident. I was able to work with, you know, a lot of great, you know, trainers. And shout out to my guy, David Reavy, who's in Illinois. He did a lot of great work on me to give me the confidence to feel like I could go out there and play again. And I feel like I could have gone out there and played. I don't know if I would have been to the standard that I'm used to playing, and that was kind of the thing that kind of pushed me to go into retirement, because I didn't want to go out there and not be the same player. And, you know, my teammates are expecting a guy that they're used to seeing. My coaches are expecting a guy that they're used to seeing, and I'm not that guy. It's been hard for myself to put myself through that, and it's been hard for them to see that as well. So, and also I just wanted to do what was best for my body. I said it after a long week of workouts, it was, you know, getting hard for me to recover and feel back to normal after a long week of workouts. And I hadn't even, you know, actually been out there on the practice field getting tackled. And that's a whole nother element of things. So I just wanted to play it smart and, you know, to try and make the best decision for myself and my family.
And then, of course, the standard is the standard. Before I let you go, you mentioned the coaches. It's clear how much respect and love Bill Belichick has for you. At one point on Tuesday, he said, quote, "It certainly has been an honor to coach you, James." I mean, that guy generally does not say things like that, not publicly. That was enormous to me. What was that like for you to hear that from him?
It means a lot. As you know, arguably the greatest coach of all time. And like I said, I was extremely blessed to, you know, start my career there and finish my career there. I learned so much about life, about the game of football. I mean, he's going to challenge you if you're, you know, undrafted rookie, first round pick, all the way to, you know, whatever, 19, 18 year vet, like when Tom was there. So it's just a pleasure to play for him. Like I said, try not to take any days for granted when I step into that building, because there's a high standard set, you know, long before I got there, but it was the same standard that I, you know, held myself to for a long time. I think I learned that standard from my parents about, you know, hard work, discipline, doing your job, and, you know, anything worth getting, you got to work hard for. So that's what it was all about.
So one last thought. I would imagine also when you talk about learning about life in football, I would imagine you learned a great deal about life in football at Wisconsin. I mentioned that. I say it because my son goes there. We have a home in the Northwoods in northern Wisconsin, so I'm really familiar with the Badgers. It still blows my mind that you, Monty Ball, and Melvin Gordon were all on the same team. How much did each of you feed off the other back then?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Wisconsin's a beautiful place, beautiful campus. I love that place. I don't get back there enough, but I love it there to share the backfield with those guys, man. Those they were special talents. I mean, they had a lot more success in college than, you know, than I ever had, for sure. Those guys breaking rushing records and all things of that nature. But to have those guys in the backfield and compete with them, you know, you see them go out there and make a play, you want to make a play. And we pushed each other. We had a great running back coach in Thomas Hammack, who made sure we competed at everything. And I think that was a big help to all of us. He pushed us to know the game and pushed us to compete and go out there and have great performances every week.
So one bonus question, the rings, dude, the rings, plural, three rings. What do you do with the rings? Are they locked away in a safe box? Do you break them out on occasion? What are you going to do with the rings?
I mean, the only time I've ever broken them out is for our ring ceremonies. Other than that, locked away in a safe, I mean, they're pretty big, so try to keep those put away.
Yeah, dude, they are pretty big. I've seen them. I've never actually had one on my hand, but they are pretty big. He's got three of them. He holds the record for most receptions and most points scored in a Super Bowl. A great, great NFL career. He announced his retirement last week. James White, my guest. Dude, really good to get caught up, James. Thank you very, very much. Congrats on an amazing career, and I hope we can do it again soon and keep talking.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you very much. James White, what a pro. Such a pro. Good Wisconsin man, too. 130th pick overall. Everybody lights up. Whenever I talk to somebody who's a part of that Badger mafia, Badger family, Badger football team, and this is why we sent our son there, or I encouraged Jake to try to go to get into Wisconsin. I've never met anybody who ever went to Wisconsin, either as a student or an athlete or otherwise, that did not love Wisconsin. And you can hear it. Every single player, every Badger that I've ever interviewed on this show just lights right up. And that's a guy who won three Super Bowl rings and still talks about what a great experience it was. Much respect. When we come back, I want to come back and give you the latest on Deshaun Watson. So again, I mentioned that when I read that statement, the written statement, my reaction to the written statement was, that's trash. That's garbage. That's not sincere. And then he gets in front of a camera and starts talking about it, and it looks even worse and sounds even worse. He made it worse. He made it worse. And then you got Jimmy Haslam saying, if I could do it all again, would I? Absolutely. Of course. You're the guy that guaranteed the guy more than a quarter of a bill. Of course you would do it all again. Nobody went harder to get this guy than you did. Of course you would do it all again. Anyway, they're making it worse, not better. It's gotten worse since I've done those last two interviews. So when we come back, I will reset that and we will get into that. And then we are wide open until hour number three. Once again, if you want to comment on this, go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. A weak battery could leave you stranded. Do not take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. Their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your budget. Make sure your car is prepared for summer driving by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So, while I was doing those interviews, two very good interviews, Bruce Feldman and James White, Deshaun Watson was meeting with the press. And I was doing both those things at one time. Honestly, that was one of the all-time worst press conferences I have ever seen. It was disastrous. He took a terrible situation and made it so much worse. So much worse. So a few minutes ago, I was talking about his statement, the statement that he issued before he met with the press. And I said that apology and that statement were trash. I said they were garbage. Actually, that's not right. That's wrong. It was so much worse than trash. It was so much worse than garbage. and I'm a wordsmith, and I'm trying to find the right words to describe what it was. And they're not coming to me just yet, but much, much worse than garbage. I mean, the statement in and of itself was terrible. Terrible. But somehow he managed to make it so much worse by chasing it with a presser where he maintains his innocence. Go ahead, Albie.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. And I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward.
I mean, are you kidding? That guy shows up on this day after they issue that statement. And I want you to listen to that one more time. He not only continues to, quote, stand on his innocence, but insists he never disrespected anybody. All but said, yeah, those things, I still didn't do anything wrong. But yeah, I'll say this so I can move on with my life and play football. Hey, Deshaun, instead of issuing a garbage statement and then making it 100 times worse by showing up and saying that you're going to continue to stand on your innocence and that you never disrespected anybody, why waste our time? Why not just show up, wait for the assembled media to get ready, make sure the cameras are rolling, make sure every last microphone is on, and flip everybody off? Go with a gigantic bird. Go with the middle finger. I mean, that whole thing would be so laughable if it weren't so bleeping offensive. That is one of the worst press conferences I have ever seen or heard. Listen once again after that first statement, because there is no ownership. There is no accountability. There's no remorse. There's no contrition. There is nothing. The guy literally chased all of that by, quote, standing on his innocence and explaining that he never disrespected anybody. This guy actually said this today.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. And I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward.
I mean, he made the point twice. I will continue to stand on my innocence. Exactly zero accountability, zero remorse, zero ownership, zero sorrow. Just, hey, are we done here? Can I get back to football? Can I move on with my life? Are we done here? Just no, I'm not sorry because I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence. Tone deaf does not begin to do this guy justice. Can I tell you something? Not that it would have made it better, but this guy couldn't even fake it for a couple of minutes. This guy couldn't even pretend for a couple of minutes. He couldn't have even say things that he thought that we all wanted to hear for a couple of minutes. They can write that statement for him and then push it out on social media. But when it came time to actually standing up, showing up, and speaking about it, what he came up with is, I stand on my innocence. Dude, if you're innocent, then why did you agree to that settlement? What are those 11 games for? What's the $5 million for? What's the additional $7 million for if you, quote, didn't disrespect anybody, if you're innocent? This guy's not sorry for anything. At all. At all. That is a disastrous press conference. I didn't think he could make it any worse after that statement. But he wasn't done. He had more to say.
For everyone that was affected about this situation, there was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
Yeah, I don't think so, dude. Quote, I'm apologizing to everybody who was affected by this situation. There were a lot of people that were triggered. There were a lot of people that were triggered? Right. Sexual assault can tend to be a trigger, Deshaun. What do you mean you apologize to everybody? You just said in the same statement, in the same presser, that you stand by your innocence.
I've always stood on my innocence.
Like I said, could that have gone any more disastrously than it did? In the same five-minute period, he's standing by his innocence, but, quote, is sorry for everybody who was affected.
For everyone that was affected about this situation, there was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
No, you're not. You're standing by your innocence. What he should have done, honestly, is just did something like this. Hey, is this thing on? Is this thing on? Are the cameras rolling? Can you hear me? Is this thing on? Actually, I don't need it to be on because I'm just going to flip y'all off. And that does not require any audio. So you don't need to turn this thing on to get this double bird that I'm going to drop on all of you. I would love to say that I'm in shock by this, but I'm not. I'm not. Nothing surprises me, but that is a disastrous press conference. That could not have gone any worse. Once again, that guy couldn't even fake it. He couldn't even lie about it. He couldn't even pretend to be remorseful and contrite. No, he's standing on his innocence and that he did not disrespect anybody.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career and for us to be able to move forward.
You hear what he just said. I'm standing on my innocence. I have never assaulted anyone. I have never disrespected anyone, but, and here's your payoff, I need to carry on with my career and my life. Go Browns! Let's play some football! LFG! Hashtag, didn't do anything wrong. Hashtag, standing on my innocence. I am shocked. And then again, I'm not. Once again, we don't know any of these guys. After all of this time, what kind of a statement is a lot of people were triggered? This guy. I need some reaction from you. 1-800-636-8686. Also, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Hey, Jim. How does a Browns dad explain to his young son, and more importantly, his young daughter, why their team's quarterback gets booed? And how is mom feeling about the family's expenses getting stretched to go and support an organization that supports said quarterback? Unwar, fake apologies. Vance and Baco. Yeah, that's no apology. If you're maintaining your innocence, you're not apologizing. Dear Mr. Rome, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. Yours, Deshaun
Watson.
I'd like
to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Seriously.
I've always stood on my innocence.
Again, this is not something that he said months and months ago, which is what he was saying months and months ago. That was something he said moments and moments ago. That statement is from today, in the last hour. I mean, just short of, hey, are we good? Are we good? Can we turn the page now? Okay, good, because I'm not sorry, and I stand by my innocence. See you when the Texans roll around. Incredible. All right, so when we come back, obviously this topic can carry the rest of the program. If you want to weigh in, go ahead and do it. I've got other thoughts. I actually thought that I was going to spend a lot of time talking about LeBron. I thought that I was going to spend a lot of time talking about Tom Brady. I'll try to get to these things. I've got thoughts on those things. But this is just mind-blowing to me. Did I really spend the last couple of years blowing them up as America's team? America's embarrassment. America's big lie. Let's get you a sports update. And if you're asking, like, Rome, what are you so pissed about? Because it's offensive. man. Really offensive. Here is your sports update. Here's...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24-7 support, free access, product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. All right, so a quick reset. It came down right before I took the air, right around 8:57 maybe Pacific time, that the NFLPA and the NFL had agreed on a settlement for Deshaun Watson. 11-game suspension, $5 million fine. Shortly thereafter, there was this statement, a written statement from Deshaun Watson. Listen carefully, quote, "I'm grateful that the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I've received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. Quote, I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused. I take accountability for the decisions I made. My focus going forward is on working to become the best version of myself on and off the field and supporting my teammates however possible while I'm away from the team. I am excited about what the future holds for me in Cleveland." I said at the time that I read that, that was garbage. That's a trash statement. What I want to know is, not did this guy write that? Did he even see it? Has he even seen the statement? Because no sooner than I read that and they pushed it out there, he started saying things like this.
"I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side, and I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward."
An incredible statement again. For me to move forward, I have to take certain steps. You know, like lie about how sorry I am. Because now hear it from me. Take it from me. Straight from me to you. Words from my own mouth. I stand on my innocence. Man, how pissed do you think the NFL is right now hearing that? They already look bad. They already look bad, and this guy's making it so much worse because he just flipped the league off, too. "I stand on my innocence, and I never disrespected anybody." You had all this time, and you couldn't even come up with a couple of lies? You couldn't even fake it for a couple of minutes? I'm telling you. Adam Schefter tweets, "Last Friday, Deshaun Watson made comments that the NFL thought were an important first step, but the league still expects him to be fully compliant with treatment and accept accountability and understand his behavior." That clearly is not happening. That is not happening. Quote, "The league still expects him to be fully compliant with treatment and accept accountability and understand his behavior." Yeah, he's not accountable, nor does he understand his behavior. Not when he's saying things like that. Again, that could not have gone any worse than it did. Terribly. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Let's move to another topic really quickly. And again, you're welcome to call in or share your thoughts on that one. What a disaster. Let's talk about the Lakers for a minute. In the least surprising contract move ever, LeBron James gets a big fat two-year extension from the Lakers. They agreed to a two-year extension worth a reported $97.1 million. It could rise to $111 million if the cap does rise. And according to Woj, there's a player option for 2024-25. The extension for LeBron also makes him the highest-earning player in NBA history. You know what? He should be. I'm fine with that. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. You can't argue with that. Nor can you argue with the fact that he was always going to sign that extension with the Lakers. Like, I know all those stories that popped up during the All-Star break that he might go back to C-Town, but that's not happening. Not this time around. And let's also be clear about this. Signing LeBron James to that extension does not bring the Lakers any closer to another NBA title. It doesn't. It just doesn't. Honestly, signing that extension doesn't change a damn thing. I have never seen a massive extension involving one of the greatest players ever in any sport that matters less than this extension. This extension means nothing because it's not a statement of anything. Like, him taking that extension does not mean that he's only in it for the money. Just like him signing that extension does not mean that the Lakers are in win now mode. I'd even argue that either one of those takes are as bad or worse than LeBron trying to say that last year was not a miserable failure. Last year was a miserable failure.
It's not a failure at all.
Oh, it was. It was a failure, a miserable failure, and this extension changes nothing at all. All it means is LeBron is going to break the all-time points record in a Laker uniform. That's all that means. And obviously, that was important to him. More important to him than chasing another ring, because if the ring is the thing, the guy wouldn't be in LA. And by the way, I'm fine with that. I really am. I'm fine with that. Just don't tell me that the ring is the thing. If the ring were the thing, you would not have re-upped with a team that missed the postseason altogether. So no, that does not bring them closer to an NBA title, and that does not put them under pressure to win now. It's not like Rob Pelinka waited for the ink to dry on the extension and then said, all right, now we're going to go try to win an NBA title. So, Laker fan, I better not see one car flag on the road today. Nobody better be out here shouting, we're back, baby, we're back. Because you're not. You're not back. It's not on. And that extension means nothing. Pelinka did not finish off that deal, crack his knuckles, and say, now we go to work. They've been going to work. They've been trying to win an NBA title ever since the last one, and they have failed miserably. They can't be in any more of a win-now mode than they already have been. And they've somehow assembled one of the most comically inept rosters in NBA history. And by the way, the way it's constructed right now, they're not going to be much better. So no, that extension changes nothing. There's still a team that missed the playoffs last year. There's still a team that missed the play-in games last year. There's still a team that has won two NBA playoff games since they won that championship. So signing LeBron was something they had to do this summer, but it doesn't make them better. All that does is spare an entire season of the rest of us having to listen to, will he or won't he? Is he going to re-up or not? Which would have been the most tired thing ever and wrecked everything for everybody. That's the real win here. Not that he re-upped, but that he re-upped and we don't have to spend all year wondering about what was going to happen. They actually ought to have a parade for that in and of itself. Because they sure as hell are not going to have any parades for anything that matters. Yeah, because the fact of the matter is, the issue with the Lakers is not LeBron. He's got to stay healthy, but it's not LeBron. The issue is everybody who is not LeBron, including Anthony Davis, including Russell Westbrook, especially Russell Westbrook. And what's more hilarious than the speculation that LeBron still wants the team to move Westbrook for the part-timer Kyrie Irving? You know, the part-timer who already quit on LeBron once and probably will once again if he ever does show up here in L.A. Because that's what the part-timer does. He plays when he wants to play. He says the earth is flat and he wrecks teams. That's what the part-timer does. Not that LeBron really cares whether it's Westbrook or the part-timer. Because if he did, he wouldn't have signed that deal. Notice he signed that deal before they fixed that part of the equation. So LeBron got his. Fine. He deserves it.
That's fine.
Just don't tell me they're better because of it. Because they're not. He's older. They're not better. They're still not better than Golden State. They're still not better than Phoenix. They're still not better than the Grizz. They're still not better than the Mavericks. Hell, that jacked up Clippers team last year? finished 9 games ahead of the Lakers. So what happens when they get Kawhi back? So they're still not better than the Clippers. Speaking of healthy, Denver is going to get healthy. The T-Wolves have got a really interesting new look. The Pelicans are getting Zion back. So where does that leave the Lakers? Yes, LeBron got his, but they did not get better. It does not change a damn thing. They still had the most disappointing season ever last year. And Bron is still responsible for wrecking the greatest movie ever made. I guess what I'm trying to say is, given that this was the biggest lock ever, nothing to see here. It changes nothing at all. And no, I'm not a parade guy. You know why I'm not a parade guy? Because parades go on in the middle of the day. And I have a job. I'm a has a job guy. That's why I'm not a parade guy. No offense, parade guy. But I'll tell you what. I'll play along. If I was going to be a parade guy, if I were, here's how I would handle this particular parade. Not the parade that's going to result because they're going to win a championship, because they're not. That parade's never happening. I'm talking about the parade that we should have because they got this deal done, so we don't have to hear about it every single week during the regular season. Now, I'll be a parade guy for that. And if I were, I'd be on the corner of Figueroa and Chick Hearn Court for that parade. I'd arrive the night before. I would sleep there all night just to make sure I get the very best spot. And then maybe somebody who's down on their luck, i.e. a bum, but there is no bum smack. Somebody down on their luck would probably roll up on me and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, friend, did the Lakers win a championship?" And my response would be like, "No. You think I'd be here for that trash?" Nah, that's not what this is about, my friend. This parade is about celebrating LeBron signing his extension and sparing the entire world of an entire season of will he or won't he. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm a parade guy. And believe me, more people would show up for that parade than the Rams parade. Or it would be a parade of one. Just LeBron on top of a convertible tour bus, 1942 in one hand, signed contract in the other hand, and me on Logan's shoulders holding up a homemade sign that reads, "Oh!" That's the parade, if I were a parade guy. Me on Logan's shoulders holding up a homemade sign reading, "Oh!" This one is directed to Jim and Tonic. LeBron blames extended with the Lakers. He gets to spend 2 more years picking out day-to-day Davis's sideline outfits and watching Russell Dressbrick turn over more than Walmart employees. At least it will be fun being his assistant still. Son, Rob Pelinka, fee in the fee. Again, I've got no problem with this guy getting his money. He's an all-time great. He deserves the money. I've got no problem with him staying in L.A. He clearly loves it here in L.A. He loves being in L.A. I'm just saying this is what this is about. It's no longer about the ring. Fine. I'm even fine with that. Just don't tell me it is. Don't tell me they're better today. Don't tell me they're in win-now mode. All these things are all exactly the same. It changes nothing. My takeaway from this is lots of guaranteed Jack and him wanting to become the game's all-time leading scorer in Laker gear. That's what that's about. Because they're no better. And nor do I see them getting any better. 1-800-636-8686. Mike D for three, quote, "I'm a parade guy. Telling people you're taking a me day." There you go. takes birthday day off guy thinks that that is absurd. Parade guy. That's why I'm not a parade guy. You know why? I'm has a job guy. You know why I'm not a parade guy? I'm cares about my job guy. But I'd go to that parade. That's the one parade I will go to. All right, so as we look ahead to hour number three, I'm going to have a conversation with Michigan State head football coach Mel Tucker. I want to talk about Manti Te'o. I did a conversation, or I had a conversation with him for our podcast yesterday, which I thought was great. It was really, really good to connect with him. That Netflix documentary, Untold, series number two is underway. He's the first episode. It's really interesting. I mean, a lot of it you may know, but I think to really dig in and kind of see what he went through, what his last 10 years have been about, Naya shows up, and I think she is really interesting, what she had to say about how that all got away. I want to get into all of that. I want to talk about Tom Brady. Where is this guy? Why is he not in camp? And not for a day or 2 days, but several days. The guy who never, ever misses anything. Why is that guy not in camp for as long as he's not in camp? And why is nobody saying anything other than Antonio Brown? Really weird. And Deshaun Watson. All right, we'll come right back. Third hour straight ahead. 1-800-636-8686. You know, you can hit me up on Twitter still, at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Don't listen to it yet. I'll give you a taste of it. But be sure after the program, if you have time, to run down that episode, 231 with Manti Te'o. I had not spoken to him in a decade. So that's one you're going to want to look for. 2 hours down, hour number three, coming up straight ahead. Mel Tucker at 1140. Open phones when we return.